Hello, and welcome to Backcountry. As this is a prologue to our later episodes, this is going to be short and snappy. And I am sat here with my housemate, Mr. Zane.
What's up?
How's it going, man?
It's all right, man.
Well, we are relaxing in the toilet with cigarettes and drinks.
Yes.
And we've just watched Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Yeah, we did. And
your first thoughts, sir?
first thoughts, well, as I was watching it, I have to be honest, my first impulse, I can't help but think, like, this is not a typical movie that I would watch.
Yeah, it's pretty odd, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very odd. I kind of like the oddness of it, like the fight scenes and the whole film pretty much being a video game.
It's just ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah, it's completely over the top, which I know is in these days, you know.
I like the fact that it's over the top because it's not supposed to be a serious film. It's a
It's true.
comic book film.
Exactly. And I guess if you try to make that serious, it would be really shitty. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, the premise is this guy Scott Pilgrim, who needs to win the heart of his girl of this girl that he likes called Ramona by defeating her seven exes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, my.
Not exactly straightforward love story there, is
No.
it?
Although, you know, that's what I was thinking at first. I was like, man, that's kind of cheesy. You know, like, because when you told me about it, I was like, that sounds really cheesy. And then, you know, I started it, and, you know, there are cheesy bits of it, but again, like you said, it's so over the top that it's kind of funny. Like, I guess sometimes you go past ridiculous to funny, you know, like,
Yeah.
but it did occur to me also, like, the underlying currents of such a simple and stupid premise, they do have some kind of, like, I don't know, deeper, like, I don't know, underlying currents, you know, the idea that in a sense you do have to win somebody's heart, and that they have all this baggage, and that in a sense you have to, in essence, you know, to wipe the slate clean,
You have to
as it
battle through
were.
it,
Yeah,
yeah.
you have to battle through all their issues caused by all these exes. So, you know, I don't want to read too much into it because I'm sure that wasn't the point, but you know, there is some validity, kind of like on a deeper sense as well. So, I think I wouldn't be all. It might have just been a better, a silly way of telling kind of the reality of relationships, you know, like.
Yeah, and yeah, it's a I'd say like a pop art film.
Yeah.
There's so many
Almost.
cultural references in there, and I mean, like you said, you could look for a deeper meaning, but do we really need to?
No, not necessarily.
No, it was just a fun film, and the soundtrack kicks ass,
That
like.
it does. The soundtrack was friggin' awesome.
Well, from that first song
The
when the what is it,
credits.
Sex Bob-omb
Yeah.
first start playing, which is the band that Scott Pilgrim's in, it's fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, the music was written primarily by Beck,
Yeah.
you
Which
know, Beck
surprises me,
Hansen,
but yeah,
yeah,
it's.
and Nigel Godrich, the guy who produced all the Radiohead albums before
Is
they
he?
left Parlophone, is it? I don't know. He was a
What
producer.
label?
Was
What
a,
label was he working on?
I think it was Parlophone. I think that's what Radiohead was signed to, right? I have no fucking clue.
Yeah, the soundtrack. I'd have to say, hands down, soundtrack was the best part of that film.
Oh.
It was executed well. All the scenes, like from the very, like I said, from the very beginning, that song comes on. They give that little tiny intro.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, and it goes straight into the credits. You know, while the band's playing it, every bit of it was the film, even if it was like a credit scene, or it was you know, like a fight scene. You know, the band's playing during a fight scene, and it was its own soundtrack to the video game slash movie. You know, so and the effects were pretty cool. It was kind of like a music video, if you will, at the same time.
Yeah,
You know,
yeah.
so I guess it was executed really well. Like the way they put all the parts together was, you know. I don't know. I'm not an editor, a film guy, camera dude, but like, I wouldn't say cinematography. That might not be right, but you know what I mean. Like, it was shot well. It was pieced together well. It was edited well. is an entertaining film visually as much as, you know, as funny. You know?
Well, the guy who did it was the guy who directed as Edgar Wright.
Mm-hmm.
And the producer was Neera Park, and they worked together on the TV show Spaced, which, if you know about, is a lot of pop culture references. And then they also worked together on Shaun of the Dead,
okay,
and Hot Fuzz.
Yeah.
So, you know, all directed by Edgar Wright, by the way. So you can see that his style's there. Mm. I'm kind of a Michael Cera fanboy.
I was gonna say though, like, Michael Cera was on his game. He definitely did the part well. My only criticism of that would be, you know, it's always the same fucking part. You know, like,
he's good at it.
And that's what makes him so funny.
Well, he's carved out his niche of being like the geeky, awkward ladies,
squeaky,
man.
Squeaky
like,
yeah.
What's that line? When he can't make up his mind whether he says I need to pee or who her, and he goes I need to pee on her. We were in fucking stitches then.
Yeah. There's some really funny one-liners in that film. If you could just watch it just for the one-liners.
Oh, yeah. And the other thing is, as it is with teen films these days, is like, you know, well, not teen films, but like young adult films, there's always Totty to look at as well.
Mm.
I mean, Knives Chow, played by Ellen Wong. Oh,
rawr.
Asian girls.
Rawr.
Yep. She played the part well. She got the Asian stereotype down to a T, didn't she?
Yeah. Particularly the young obsessed one.
Like, yeah, you know what's really funny though is I didn't find Ramona attractive in the slightest.
No.
And that's the main love interest.
Yeah. Yeah,
thanks,
I actually didn't either, but you know, it kind of happens a lot for lead roles. You know, suppose they fit the part better than the. Which you could, you know, which kind of actually makes it really good. Actually, sorry to tangent a little bit. I feel the same way about Ellen Page a little bit, the parts that she plays, like,
mm-hmm.
in her lead roles. I don't necessarily find her, like, your stereotypical, like, beautiful lead female role.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, she's kind of awkward.
Yeah.
She's not particularly... supermodel gorgeous, which I appreciate about films when they put a role in, like, you know, you could go watch some teeny bopper, like, film in a lead role. Female role is going to be, you know, Paris Hilton or something like that, you know, like,
yeah.
And so in a sense, I like that, you know, this more focus on the talent of the actress and not just the, you know, eye candy value, you know, like, to sell the film, you know.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we can say the same about Michael Cera as well. Like, he's not pretty, you know. Like,
he's just a funny fucker, isn't he?
But, I mean, they're really good at their parts, and they did it really well. Strangely enough, you know, it occurred to me, I saw the name in the credits. I saw the name Culkin.
Kieran Culkin.
Yeah, the gay best friend.
Yeah.
The gay roommate in the movie, like, it was, I could see it all in his face.
Macaulay Culkin's younger brother. He's had some really stellar parts actually in some quite low budget films, but because he's a Culkin, he's got that kind of stigma attached to him, I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of like that ooh about him, you know, like that.
Yeah.
He's a Culkin. Whoa.
Yeah, but the thing is like, he's so much more talented than his brother. His brother just did the whole I'm a cheeky little kid thing. Anyway, we're going off tangent. I don't know, I really enjoyed Scott Pilgrim. I mean, it's got quite a lot of negative press for, like, for not being focused enough. It's like, does that kind of a film need to be focused?
Focus, schmuckers.
We're not trying to create another fucking masterpiece, you know. They were out to entertain.
Yeah, and the thing is, I think that's a new like, this generation of film, particularly the Michael Cera generation.
Mm.
You know, let's name off Superbad.
Superbad,
you know,
yeah.
Focused, come on, you know, like,
exactly.
It's about getting laid, right? You know, what are other Cera films?
Youth in Revolt that we watched recently.
Yeah, where he's also trying to, he's like, that
girl. Oh, all he wants to do is get laid.
He's just trying to get laid.
Yeah.
And then he has a split personalities or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so what I'm saying, all these parts, you know, that he's been playing, and they always have the same characters in it, like that.
Awkward.
Well, the other roles, you know, like, the guy from Superbad, the other guy from Superbad.
Oh, I can't remember his name right now. Jonah.
Yeah.
Jonah Hill, I think.
Yeah. Somewhere. And then the police officer in that one as well.
Seth Rogen.
Yeah. So what I mean, I'm getting at, there's a point, I mean, like, these kind of movies, these modern, you know, comedies, kind of Michael Cera, awkward, nerdy character, you know, in a sense, they might be onto some sort of new trend of movies where, you know, like, the plot and the focus isn't necessarily the point.
Yeah.
You know.
It's about entertaining people.
Yeah. Which could be said about pretty much any, you know, mainstream film, you know.
Well, like, the thing about film is, like, ultimately, whether you're trying to educate or, like, get your point across or whatever, you're still there to entertain.
Yeah.
And, you know, Scott Pilgrim did it well.
It was entertaining. I'll give it that. Like I said, my first impulse is not my normal kind of film I would watch.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because ultimately, it's a teen flick. You know, like,
it's a teen flick on Ritalin.
Yeah, exactly. Which I liked about it. I liked the visual stimulation, like the visual, like, part of it. I liked the humor all mixed together. And then it was kind of it kind of had this, you know, Kill Bill, like, over the top bright colors, like, crazy angles and, like, really ridiculous, like.
Well, the guy who originally wrote the comic books for Omnipress, like, it was just all full of cultural references and just taking the piss out of, like, you know, all those fanboys who are like, yo, I'm really into Japanese anime, and they're like the whitest motherfuckers ever.
Yeah, I do like the vegan character.
that's the new Superman.
Is it?
You know the guy from when Bryan Singer remade Superman? Yeah. That's the same guy.
Oh, I didn't realise that.
Yeah.
I didn't put those together.
Yeah, the vegan guy was pretty funny. I can't remember that.
I don't know if you would call it a cultural reference, but taking something in society that's, you know, current and people who are really hardcore about this vegan stuff,
yeah,
and using that, like, perhaps in jest, you know, like, to, like, poke fun at different groups of people, you know, like, you know, yeah, it's definitely a humorous, you can see the satire, the satirical nature of the film and kind of poking fun at different groups of people and, like, even, you know, like I said, back to the relationship satire as well, you know, where, like, I've got to fight through all these guys to get to you, blah, 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 or, like, you know, even as simple as that scene when both girls show up at the gig and everybody in the room makes eye contact. What? You know, everybody's making eye contact. Even stuff like that, awkward situations, and they highlight and enhance these situations. It's funny. It's definitely something you can laugh at, you know, because you've probably found yourself in that similar situation before, you know.
It doesn't feel that way to everyone else, but it does to you.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody else thinks nothing of it, but you're like, feeling like you're the center of attention, or
yeah, you're like,
it's gonna rip your heart out, you know, like,
who else was really good in that? Jason Schwartzman as G-Man at the end.
That's the guy from
I Heart Huckabees.
He was in
that Wes Anderson film, Darjeeling Limited. There we go. He's been in quite a lot of films. He's a decent actor, but he really plays up the being a cock.
Sort. Actually, I would say I enjoyed that character. Like, I thought it was done well. I mean, he was an ass, but that was the point, right? Like, for example, just, I haven't seen a lot of him, but I saw him in I Heard Huckabees. I thought he was kind of lame in that one, honestly.
Well, yeah.
The character was lame.
Yeah,
whereas
yeah.
in this one, even though it was a lame character, it was supposed to be lame. Like, I think he executed this one a lot better, this part.
And, what were the other cast? There was, Chris Evans as Lucas Lee, you know, the action hero who was a skateboarder. I mean, he's pretty piss poor, but he's eye candy for the girls. I'll forgive that, I guess. But he took the piss out of himself pretty well, because, I mean, he has done primarily action roles like Fantastic Four and, yeah. So just to see him take the piss out of himself, like, yeah, I'm an action dude, like, I'd rather get blazed in my Humvee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was the lead role? What was her name? The character.
Oh, Ramona.
Yeah, Ramona's.
I have no fucking
clue. Because I have no idea who that is. I've never
seen her before either. And
is she a new?
I'm guessing she's an up and comer, because I was reading some interviews with Edgar Wright about the film, and he was saying, you know, we've got some established actors in here, and then we've got some people that you'll see their faces, you know, oh, I know who that is, and then we've got a lot of unknowns. Like, they cast Ellen Walton as Knives primarily because she had a background in Taekwondo.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
And the thing, you know what really gets me is, like, that they cast her as a Chinese girl, and she's from, like, her parents are from Cambodia.
Really?
Yeah, I always find it weird how, like, they're just like, well, you're Asian, so you can be generic. It's like, well, she doesn't look Chinese.
No, not particularly.
She's hot, but it's like, man, you're not particularly Chinese. Your parents are from Cambodia, for fuck's sake.
But Ellen Wong?
Ellen Wong, yeah.
Okay. But is she been in anything else before then?
No, she hasn't, no. This is like her first big role. Mm-hmm. So she's one of the unknowns. I mean, you got Michael Cera in there to bring in the kind of teeny early 20s crowd, I guess. Because, I mean, a lot of us have grown up on Arrested Development, the three seasons that they had. And then we've got, like, you know, Superbad and...
Yeah.
Youth and Revolt, which was brilliant, by the way. And then we've got Jason Schwartzman, who's a big name. Chris Evans, who was in Fantastic Four and a few other things. Who else was big enough in this film?
Other than that, I can't really think of any names.
Well, I mean, I don't want to spoil anything, but the drummer in the band, she looks familiar. I can't remember where from. If you know, email in. The one of the exes who's like the lesbian one, that's not spoiling anything. She looks familiar too, and I can't remember where I've seen her.
Mm.
She's really familiar.
Yeah, I would go as far as to say that perhaps the weak link in the acting, which I know there's the support in a sense, the drummer and the bassist. I mean, the drummer and the guitarist singer.
Yeah.
On the weak side, like I found them, like their characters kind of, you know, like
they're just thrown in there.
Yeah, they didn't seem necessary. Almost like I guess they are necessary in a sense. Perhaps they did a good job of not, you know, upstaging the main roles.
Yeah, well, they didn't hug the limelight, did they?
No, and I'm sure that was all to do with writing. But I mean, that's what I mean. Like I guess they struck me as kind of mediocre. I mean, like, whereas the other ones, there was a good chemistry between, like, I think between the three main, Michael Cera and the two girls, Ellen Wong and...
we'll call her Ramona.
Ramona, yeah. There was a good chemistry between those three, you know, being the main roles. And actually, the Culkin...
Kieran Culkin.
Kieran Culkin.
What's his role in the film? We've just watched the film and I can't fucking remember. Wallace. There we go.
Yeah, Wallace.
Wallace.
Right. Yeah, that was a good...
The gay roommate, yeah.
you know, and the way he would always appear at, like, random things, like, even though, like, it was kind of funny, that character would just appear out of nowhere and then, like, put some, like, funny one-liner in there or whatever.
Mm. I just think, like, as a comic book / video game kind of film... It brings in all the elements of it. I mean, the best example of it is when they do the Universal theme tune, you know, What is it? Dun dun.
Yeah, like Atari style, like almost.
It does it with like Atari / Commodore 64 sounds, with like the what is it, like the 6 megabyte kind of fucking sound.
Yeah.
Like it's, what do they call that? I can't fucking remember. I'm a bit drunk, so it don't really fucking matter, does it? But yeah.
Okay. Well, then overall.
Yeah.
Where would you put it?
I'd say,
give me an overall.
I'd say it's a really, really entertaining kind of teeny / Facebook texting kind of generation film.
I would agree with you there.
Yeah, because all the kids that are growing up with that sort of shit, you know, like they're like 14, 15, 16 years old right now. They fucking dig that film. And
it was pretty clean as
well. Yeah, and I dug it as well. Yeah, I mean, even the moments when they were swearing, they blacked it out and then they made fun of it.
Yeah.
Like, how are you doing that with your mouth? I don't know. Yeah, it was, like, for its target audience, I think it was really well done. And all the reviewers that I've seen that have actually given it a really bad review are, like, in their 40s. Like,
yeah.
It wasn't made for you, you fucking cunts. I dropped the C-bomb there. There we go. I don't think so. I'm leaving that shit in. I mean, fuck, it's a prologue.
Yeah.
But yeah, where would you put it, Mr. Zane?
Again, I think it's very, very age-specific. You know, like, I think...
Oh, yeah.
Which is fine. I think... Probably for its intended audience, it's great, you know, like, it actually kind of reminds me of, it kind of reminds me in my day of the kind of, like, can't hardly wait, like,
yeah,
you know, like,
10 things I hate
coming
about
of
you.
Age thing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
Michael Cera's, like, strong suit here is just, like, always these coming of age films and learning about relationships and whatnot. Granted, what I would give, you know, for these is I think, there is a slightly more emotional side to some of them these days, like that one that you're talking about. He also did Juno. That's the one. Like,
yeah, I love that film.
Juno, perhaps more on the emotional like side of the coming of age,
yeah,
as opposed
yeah.
to this one, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
For its intended audience and for the age, and it was executed well. It's really good for the audience. I think as far as
yeah.
under those things. It's a great film.
And it's really good for the geeky audiences as well, because there's a lot of, like, you know, video game references in there. I mean, there's one bit where Knives asks Neil, young Neil, who isn't part of the band. She thinks he is, and she goes, "What do you play?" And he's like, "Ooh, that's a tough question. Zelda, Tetris. That's a really difficult question." But yeah, I mean, it's really good for its target audience, and the fact that it got panned by so many critics, it's like, well, you're 40 years old, what the fuck do you know? It wasn't made for you, you know? You're looking for deeper meaning, and you're going through your midlife crisis and all that shit. Kids just want to be entertained, and it's a good pop culture film.
Yeah.
So I guess I'd leave it in that kind of bracket.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and we should wrap up there, man.
Yeah, that's all I gotta say.
Well, it's been good having you on Backcountry, sir.
It was a privilege. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and we do apologize for the low quality of this. We are in a bathroom. We are a bit drunk, and it's been a yeah. I am fucking drunk, and we've had a very long day at work. So yeah. Any thoughts? Emails. You can email us at thisisbackcountryhk@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook at thisisbackcountry. And, yeah, you can also catch us at Twitter at thisisbackcountry as well. Just have a look for us. Or is it thisisbackcountryhk? I can't remember. I'm really drunk, and Tim usually helps me out with this thing. So,
can't help you there, bud.
Yeah, exactly. And Tim's been a lazy ass, and... Yeah. Well, he's not. He's actually really busy, and that's why we're doing these prologues. So, yeah, I hope you enjoy this, and you should go check out Scott Pilgrim, because it's available on DVD and illegal downloads. I did not just say that.
I didn't hear anything.
All right. Peace out. Bye.